Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Mr. Tony Friday, good afternoon to you.
Hey, man, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I am well. How is South Africa?
South Africa is fine, man. South Africa is fantastic. We've been enduring some heat wave, especially in the capital. And you are in Harare?
Yes, I'm in Harare. The weather temperatures here are insane. We haven't been getting a lot of rain. In fact, there hasn't been none in the past couple of weeks. So, it's really bad.
I've heard that. And especially when you go towards the northern parts,
Yeah, so they're saying that this is the least rain recorded in February ever.
Are you serious?
Yep, according to the records from the meteorological department. Something is definitely happening with the climate.
Oh, goodness, I wonder what is happening to the crops. Well, we just pray that God brings down the rain in that part of the world. Well, we've been enjoying some good rains this side, especially in Pretoria. I must say that we've had some lovely, lovely rains. We want to thank God for that. We do pray that it becomes the same with you that side.
Beautiful.
Now, Tony, we're talking about social media addiction this afternoon.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, checking and scrolling through social media has become an increasingly popular activity over the past decade, at least. Now, although the majority of people's use of social media is not problematic, there is some percentage of users that become addicted to social networking sites and engage in excessive or compulsive use. Now, how serious is a social media addiction? I've been hearing about this addiction to social media. Is it a serious thing or is it just an exaggeration? And how detrimental can it get to one's well-being?
This is an extremely serious problem, man. And I will explain why. So I've got an app on my phone. I use an iPhone and I sign up for what is called Screen Time. So Screen Time basically tells you how long you spend on the screen over like a period of a week, and then it gives you an average. So I think it was a year before last, I had reached 7 hours of screen time. That's when I realized that this is a problem. Now, if your job involves you working online and using your phone, there's absolutely no problem. But you and I know that for most people, there's something else that you should be doing, and you're spending excessive amounts of time just scrolling and clicking and scrolling and clicking and screenshotting and all of these things. So let's get back to, you know, what defines an addiction.
Right.
An addiction is something that you are not in control of. I mean, it's okay to use the phone. It's okay to be on social media and connect with people. But the moment you find yourself not able to switch off, it could be a first sign that there's a bit of trouble here, because you are not in the driver's seat. You are now in the back. And I remember I talked about addiction a number of weeks ago when we said that, you know, it all starts very innocently. You know, social media gives people an escape from reality. So you're escaping from reality, whatever your reality is, whatever it is that you're escaping from. You know, you go onto Facebook and you start seeing all these interesting posts and pictures and videos. And a lot of them are very interesting and funny, which by itself is not a problem. But the problem then becomes, it becomes the thing that you constantly go to. Every single time that you are escaping from something. So this one is called escapism. Many individuals turn to social media as a way to escape from, you know, real life or to seek validation or approval from others, which, you know, can contribute to an addictive behavior. So what happens is a lot of these videos, in fact, we have seen videos of, I don't know if you followed the story, but there was a, there was a time when the social media founders were taken to task in the U.S., you know, the creators of Facebook, Instagram, and all these other, to really answer questions in Parliament, to say...
Oh, I remember that, yes.
So the question was, you know, do you guys intentionally make these social platforms addictive? And the answer was yes. So these guys know exactly what they're doing. So the kinds of content that they put on social media, and also just how they create that platform, is all meant to be addictive. So you and I are in trouble, because we have people who are out there who are making tons and tons and tons of money based on our need for, escape. And then they provide exactly what you're looking for. So what they do is they profile you. They know the kind of stuff that you usually click, and the algorithms will then start to feed you the same kind of stuff that you like. So you are getting more and more and more and more of the same stuff that you enjoy. Now, you can imagine, for somebody who has a day job, for example, like, how many hours they are spending just clicking, because everything builds on your need for dopamine. Dopamine is a chemical that is released from the brain. It's a feel good chemical. You know, we get it from all kinds of different sources, and social media is one of them. So you're constantly watching stuff that's triggering your dopamine, a dopamine rush in your system, and it excites you for a moment. And now you find yourself, you find it harder and harder to focus. That's the first thing. You can't concentrate on work. You can't even have a real conversation with a real person, because you are addicted to this stuff, which is always giving you rewards. It's always rewarding your brain for, you know, following this stuff. It's called the reward system. Social media platforms are engineered to trigger the release of dopamine in the brain, similar to how addictive substances work, reinforcing the habit of checking social media frequently. So here's a question to you. How often do you check your WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, or whatever?
Well, I check social media every day, actually. I don't have Facebook. Fortunately, I don't have Instagram. I have Twitter, which I check from time to time. I recently joined TikTok. Yes, I recently joined TikTok. I think this year, late last year.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, check it literally daily, actually.
Really? Okay. And how many times in a day would you say you check your WhatsApp?
Because I work with WhatsApp, I check it quite often, because there's a lot of work stuff that comes through there. So WhatsApp, I would probably check it quite often, many times an hour actually. And then with Twitter, I would check it a couple of times a day, maybe 3-4 times a day. And with that other one, TikTok, also a couple of times a day, 3-5 times a day.
Yeah. That's you're actually on the safe side, because a lot of the people that I've spoken to about this subject, as I was getting ready for this show, a lot of people actually have lost the ability to disconnect. And that is how you know you've become addicted, when you're not in control anymore. This thing starts to control you. I have moments when, for example, I know for most people when they wake up, right? If ideally for me, when I wake up, I want to reach for my Bible. But it's not always the case.
Because
The first thing that you want to do is check your phone. And a lot of people don't ask why that is. Because you have wired your brain in a way that you need this dopamine rush. Like, you want to know who's been texting you, who's been calling you, who's looking for you.
True.
And because we are wired for connection as human beings, it's so easy to just get hooked on WhatsApp, because you're always talking to people. But now, this connection, which social media provides, is a superficial connection. It's not a real connection.
True.
And how I know it's a superficial connection is the fact that you find people that are sitting with people in a restaurant, at a concert, and they're not talking to each other. They are on their phone. So what you're opting to talk to have a virtual conversation
with people that were not there.
Than a real one. So these are all signs that, you know, you could be addicted to social media. When you find yourself spending endless hours just scrolling and clicking and scrolling and clicking, endless hours. I know people that every time you try and open a chat with them, you see them online.
Now, Tony, tell me, this social media addiction, Would you say that it would take people away from their responsibilities that they have to actually carry out? That is a work responsibility, home responsibility, school responsibilities?
Definitely. Definitely. It would be interesting for employers to actually start taking stock of how many hours their employees are spending on social media, or rather, it's just on their phones, because that's where most of the social media is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know a company that has made it a policy. These guys are into account. They are an accounting firm, an auditing firm.
Right.
They've made it a policy that as soon as people step into the office, there's a little tray where everybody puts their phone.
Oh, wow.
And then only pick them up at tea break, at lunchtime, and before you go home. Because what they realized was there's a lot of productive time that is lost to people just being on social media and doing nothing, you know. So I understand when people who use their phones for communication tools for business. For example, I'm one of those people. My work is mostly online. If I don't have my phone, I'm not working, right?
Yeah.
Which is fine, fair and fine. But for most people, this is not the case. So if you find yourself as an employee in a situation where, you know, you are starting to have this with these withdrawal symptoms every time that you are away from your phone, then that could be the first sign that you are suffering from, you know, social media addiction. And how you know that you've become addicted, you know, you have difficulty connecting, difficulty disconnecting. Individuals addicted to social media may find it challenging to disconnect from their devices, even when they recognize the negative impact that it is having on their lives. It is important to recognize the signs of social media addiction and take steps to establish a balance between online online and real life.
You know, I can actually tell you the things I noticed is that there was a time when I, you know, you go to bed and you're preparing to rest and you're thinking, ah, I'm just winding down. Let me just check what is happening on the social media. And then you sit there for an hour or two. I mean, you were intending to just go and sleep. You know, the family's prayed and everybody is in bed and you're thinking, ah, I'm just going to check out what's happening because, you know, you want to know what's happening in the world and what has transpired, etc. And then you end up 2 hours, 3 hours, and you end up sleeping late. And I thought, no, this can't be happening. Can't do this to myself. So I've got to make sure that when I go to bed, I put this thing away. Because otherwise, if you're not going to control it, it's going to take over your life. I agree with you. Now, Tony, tell me, what are the remedies for people? I mean, perhaps some are listening and are saying, yeah, I also have a problem. And by the way, those who are listening, if you want to join the conversation, please send the text on via WhatsApp to +27 734 7035 20 0 7 3 4 7 0 3 5 2 0. Now, Tony, remedies.
Yeah.
How does one get through this? Because as you said, it becomes a difficulty, you know, disconnecting. What are the remedies for social media addiction? And before you get to that, by the way, while you're thinking about that question, I do want to assume that social media addiction does not only affect teenagers, it also affects adults.
Oh, no, it's across the board. It's not a teenager's problem. It's also, I have seen and I know a lot of grown-ups who are suffering from this social media addiction. And social media addiction can actually, excessive use of social media has actually been linked to, you know, increased feelings of anxiety, depression, loneliness, low self-esteem, and, you know, fueling a further addiction it becomes fuel for further addiction, because the more you feel depressed, the more you want relief, and the more you go back to it, and the more you get depressed, and then it becomes just like an endless cycle. But talking about remedies, like any other addiction, you need to speak to a professional about this. There is no easy way. There are no shortcuts, there are no hacks to any kind of addiction, whether it's drug addiction or any addiction to any substance or social media. You have to go through the process of therapy. And the process is the same, essentially, because you have wired your brain to need and that something takes you out of your present experience, which you don't like. And the rewiring of your brain is what creates the addiction, and vice versa. The unwiring of that addiction is how you get out of it. And it's not a process, unfortunately, that a lot of people can do by themselves. Something that you need to sit in front of a professional and talk to, and they give you a step-by-step approach to it. You need assistance to get out of this thing. It's not something that you can snap a finger today and just say, you know what, I'm addicted. I recognize that I have an addiction, and I'm just going to stop. You know, if it was that easy, everybody would stop doing it.
True, true.
But people don't stop doing it because they exclude the professional help aspect of it. We have a service here in Zimbabwe, which my company offers, which basically helps people, you know, get out of things like addiction and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you need to seek the help of a counselor, a professional. And you might want to look for somebody who is specifically trained to deal with that, because there are people who specialize in dealing with problems like that. And unfortunately, this is only something that we are starting to wake up to now. So you'd have to be diligent in finding someone who is familiar with this kind of addiction, whether we like it or not, but it's a problem that is really, really a threat to society. It's a threat to relationships, families. It's a threat to productivity in the workplace. It's a threat to safety, because how many times have you stopped at a traffic light and saw the guy who is next to you
on the phone? I've seen a lot of people on. In fact, I myself have been on the phone while driving.
Yes, that is a problem. In fact, if you see that, then you know this person is not in control of their of how they use their phone. They are addicted to their phone, most likely social media, because what we mostly do on social media is WhatsApp and you know, the other platforms. So you need to seek the help of someone, because the worst thing will happen on a day where you are driving, right? And you stop at a traffic light, or maybe you just check a message for a split second. You don't need a very long time to be involved in a serious accident.
True.
There's a lot of accidents that have happened because people are addicted to social media, and it needs the help of a professional.
Now, you know, you said yourself your work is on, you know, the cell phone, and that many people are working on the cell phone. We do know that there are those people who are called the social media, what do they call them? Influencers? Yes.
Influencers and social media managers.
The social media managers and all of those people who have got to be on social media all the time. In your research, in your knowledge, and the people that you work with and have, you know, interacted with, would these people be classified as addicted to social media because they've got to be on those platforms literally all the time?
Not necessarily. The difference is, you work on social media, they are not there for fun. It's different from somebody who is consuming social media because they are looking for an escape. This person is creating income, they're implementing strategies, they're posting stuff, they're editing stuff, which is very different from someone who is just mindlessly scrolling on their phone to just escape from something.
Well, Tony, now, if a person has contacted, you know, professionals like yourselves to say, you know what, guys, I need help. I'm hooked on this thing. I can't help myself. And does it take long to help this person? Would you be able to say, okay, Zama, you are here, and we're going to be helping you over the next couple of months to be out of this thing? Do you take their phone away? Do you take their gadgets away? What do you do with them?
So there's a process. You go for therapy sessions, which are usually once a week. So in each therapy session, you are given strategies on how to deal with this thing. But as to how long it will take, it really depends on how deep you had dug this hole.
I see.
And it depends. There's people that have been addicted for years and years and years.
What?
And then there's people. So obviously, it's different for somebody who has been hooked on it for 6 months, because it means the damage to your brain is not as extensive as somebody who has been doing this for 10 years, for example.
You're saying damage to the brain?
So it does damage. It damages the brain, because when you are constantly subjecting your brain to an excessive release of dopamine, you need more and more and more and more and more of it. And that causes, and because it's excessive and you're producing excessive amounts of dopamine, it gets to a point where your brain can't keep up and it can't function normally because of that, that you have subjected it to. So, yeah.
My goodness. Okay. Yeah, now, Tony, I think this is deeper, deeper than I actually thought, because I thought, okay, people can just, even if you see, as soon as you see that there's an addiction, you must be consciously moving away yourself from that. I mean, I've been able to do that. So I thought that it should be not a problem for a lot of people to say, okay, I realize I've got this issue. I must now step back.
Yeah. In fact, some of the physical effects of social media addiction means can lead to poor posture. You know, straining your eyes. I know people that have developed eye problems.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed that to some people as well. Mm-hmm.
Your sleep patterns can be disrupted as well. You know, even just your disability to connect with other people in a normal way. I mean, how many times have you tried to talk to a colleague or a friend and you're actually out and about, and every other 2 seconds they are checking their phone?
True. Actually, all the time we see that.
Those are the side effects of, and then there's depression, there's anxiety, increased anxiety, there's increased loneliness, so low self-esteem because we are constantly comparing ourselves to other people and all of that.
That's the last point I wanted to get to, actually, that I've also noticed that, people posting their stuff on social medias, successful with big houses, big cars, people traveling overseas for holidays, etc. And I have a sense that many of these are just curated. They're not necessarily true. So the person who's sitting there feels that, they're missing out because they've not been on an overseas holiday ever. Yep. And people are actually going overseas every other month. And people have got these big cars and people are living large out there. And all of this is fed onto these social media platforms. And one who is watching feels that, I am missing out. And I think that's the cause of the depression.
Yeah, it's what you just said, what you just mentioned now is the reason why a lot of people are addicted, because you have this fear of missing out, right? Like, I wonder what I missed on social media today. And that becomes the next thing that you do. Like, you want to keep scrolling because you don't want to miss out on anything. Oh, did you hear so and so, such and such happened on social media today? And you don't want to miss out, right? So you constantly have to check because you have this fear of missing out. The fear of missing out on important news, events, or even social interactions can drive people to constantly check their social media feeds. And then there's also our inbuilt need to compare ourselves and get validation from other people. So social media addiction can actually stem from the desire to compare ourselves to others, seek validation through likes and comments, and portray an ideal, which is like an idealized version of ourselves, which is curated, like you say. It's actually not a real thing, because if I look at, I'll take 5 pictures, right, or even 10 or 20, only to pick one picture which I think, you know, has my best angle, shows my best side and all of that. And because it's just a fraction of a second of someone's life, we take it as reality that this is this person's life. Meanwhile, this is not their car. They were in an Airbnb. Yeah, sure, they're sitting at a restaurant. Maybe this is the first time in 6 months they are eating such an expensive meal. But when you post it on social media, it really looks like this is how I live. And if you think about it, we then start comparing our real lives, which could actually be much better, to someone's one fraction of a second that they've posted on social media. They're posting smiling with their hubby or boyfriend or whoever, right? And you start comparing your whole entire life based on a fraction of a second, which may not even be a representation of what's really on the ground.
Wow, Tony, you know what? This is hectic, man. This is actually far more deeper and serious, especially that it would affect, not only children who are at school, but also adults and everybody literally there on earth. But I'm happy that you're saying that people can get help, you know, from, you know, this addiction, like somebody like yourself, and you've been doing this kind of work. Now, I hear, I see somebody is writing here last, as we're about to go, a message from Bongi here online says, go to a fancy restaurant and order water for the gram. All right. So people would go there and literally just order something very cheap so that they can actually post on Instagram that I'm in this exquisite restaurant. And there Tony is looking at it and is feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm missing out. People can afford this. So yeah. But Tony, success rate. I don't know if you've had a great success rate in terms of helping people who have addiction to social media, as we let you go.
Unfortunately, I do not. I do not want to lie and say that I do. It would be because this is fairly something that we just started to deal. We only added social media addiction to our repertoire of, you know, counseling services this side last year, beginning of last year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we haven't really, it would be difficult to measure at this point.
At this point, yeah.
So I couldn't give you the rate of relapse versus, you know, the rate of success.
Right.
I don't have those figures
at this point
with me. But what I do know for sure that you are much better off, you know, seeking help than just being stuck in the pit. So whatever it is that you're going through now, you're better off just reaching out to a professional. You'll be in a much better position, you know, a few months from today than where you are now.
Beautiful. Tony Friday, thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, man.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.